I want to speak to you today. I'm going to start a little differently than I usually do, with two different verses which correlate with the verses that I'm going to expound on a little bit. We're going to first come from Job 14 and 16. Then we're going to go to Psalm 90 and 10. And we're going to go to our text, which is in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. Now let's stand for the reading of his most holy word and giving reference to God. Now, in Job 14 and 16, we read, "Man born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure." Now in Psalms 90 and 10, we read, "The years of our life are 70. Or even my reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away." You may be seated. I'll read the other verses. One author wrote a book, can't recall his name, but he wrote a book that you can live to be 100 years old. But he died at 69. What is my point? You don't know how long you are going to be walking this earth. I want to move to 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter, 16 through 18. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," let me read this over, "for which cause we faint not," no reason to panic, "but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, whatever you may be going through, in sickness and in toil, our light afflictions, which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The title of this message, "Don't Faint, You Already Got Help." The first thing that this verse teaches us is a very fundamental truth about us as human beings. And that is that we have both an inner and outer aspects of our being. Paul writes to us about our outer man and our inner man. What he is referring to is that each one of us has a body, which is the flesh. We also have an inner man, which is the spirit and the soul. This is fundamental to our understanding of who we are as human beings. The body is our outward physical body that we can see, we can feel, we can touch. What Paul calls the outer man. But the spirit and the soul are who we are on the inside. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotion. Then we have a spirit by which we relate to God. We can't see our spirit and our soul. They are inside of us. And that is why Paul calls it here our inner man. It says here that our outer man, our physical body, is decaying, being slowly destroyed. Most of us who have attained to any number of years, let's just say 40, for instance, don't need anyone to tell them. We know this very well. All we have to do is look in the mirror, try to do something that we used to do. Our bodies will tell us we are not what we once were at 16, 20, or 25. I'm going to go as far as 30. Your outer man is decaying. We live in America. We do the best that we can to try to reverse it, to try to look young. In our culture, no one wants to get old. So we dye our hair. We have surgery to try to lift and fix things. Get artificial stimulants, but they can only sustain us for a while. We try to eat right and exercise and do everything we can to try to slow down the aging process. It is a good thing to eat right and exercise, by all means. But the truth of the matter is that you've got to understand is that you can ultimately never reverse the aging process in your body. There's no magic fountain of youth which we can wash and be young. Our outer body is decaying, and that is the truth from the word of God that we cannot reverse. God wants us to understand that this flesh that we are living in right now is not forever, and it is only temporary. Our body by decaying as a result of the sin that man brought into the world, the Garden of Eden. As a result, our bodies wear down and will eventually die. There's nothing we can do about it. In fact, some of the procedures that we use today to try to hide or delay our decay in a way deceiving, both to ourselves and to others. They may mask what is happening to our bodies and to the point that we almost believe that it is happening. All these things cannot stop the aging process that takes its toll on all of us, that has its grip on humanity, and time is a stern executioner. We are decayed. We will die. Need to face up to it, but we also need to be ready for it. That is what the Christian faith is all about. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. How will you be judged? Did you just spend your life recklessly in the world? Or did you try your best and with all your heart, your might, and your strength to serve God? God created us originally with a spirit, a soul, and a body. Genesis 1:7 says God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. God gave us a body to live in and also a spirit and a soul as individual personalities to relate to him and to other people. But it wasn't long, the Bible says, until man turned his back on God, disobeyed him. We read in Genesis 2:16-17, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. All that Adam had to do was be obedient to God's commandment and reject Satan's deadly scheme. But he looked, he listened, he was manipulated and influenced by the evil one, Satan, our enemy. He decided to eat of the forbidden fruit. That was a catastrophic event. When this happened, we were corrupted by our sin. Not only did our bodies begin to die, but our spirit lost the ability to relate to God. And our iniquity caused the separation between us and our God. Oh, bless his holy name. Ephesians 4:18 states, when we became lost, we were darkened in our understanding. Our spirit was cut off from God, and our whole man was corrupted by our sin. That's why God sent Jesus to reverse this in us. Jesus died on the cross, paid for our sin, rose from the dead to be the Savior from sin. Now, for everyone who would call upon his name, when we ask God to save us, the Bible says he sends his Holy Spirit into our lives. Ephesians 1:13 says, you are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit of Christ dwells in you and he picks you up and says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become anew. You were a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. You walk a new way. You don't have to do the things that you once did. You shouldn't even meditate on the old thing. But your meditation should be on Christ. Jesus. God's Spirit now, when you call upon him, is now inside of us. He's working in our inner man. It's a process. But you keep on proceeding. Keep on reading his word. Keep on asking him for spiritual knowledge. Keep on praying and keep on doing his will. It's a process. And in this, you are receiving your inner man. You are renewing your inner man. Doesn't happen overnight, but it's a process. Paul says, inner man is being renewed, which indicates continual action. Other words, it's an ongoing life process. So it's important for us to be committed to the process of daily renewal. This is not a casual walk. This is a continual walk with Christ. We need to participate in worship services so that we can grow in our worship to God, so that his Spirit can speak to our hearts through his word, show us where we should be in him. We need to be in the word of God every day ourselves. When you do this, his Spirit will speak to you, will convict you, change you, renew you. But you got to give him the time. Somebody said you got to put in the time. But some Christian folk do not put in the time. They're not faithful in worship. They're not faithful in attendance. And attentively, they don't listen to the preaching. They do not get into God's word every day. Consequently, although God's Spirit is in them, they are not much being renewed. Sometimes it can be quite difficult to tell this person from one that is lost. Oh, what a shame. As a child of God, you've got to remember you're to not be like the world. You don't act like the people down the street. You don't walk like they walk. You don't talk like they talk. Because there should be something in the inside, God's Spirit, that's working on the outside. And oh, what a change in your life. We must remember that it's not about our outside man, but it's all about our inside man. Jesus is still called our beautiful Savior, not because of his physical appearance, but because of his inner features. He is the only person without sin. He is the Son of the living God, and he is God. He is loving, is righteous, he's gracious, and he's merciful. So it is really not about an outer man, but it's all about the inner man. God will see us beautiful if we are living our life holy and pleasing to his eyes. But we can never be beautiful in his eyes by our own accord, but only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through him, we can also be beautiful in God's eyes. He said that he would beautify the meek with salvation. So Christ's radiance reflects on us, on all of us, making us pleasing and righteous to the eyes of God. So even if our outer man is wasting away, we should not lose heart. Don't lose heart, because God made sure that our outer man, our inner man, is being renewed every day through the work of the Holy Spirit inside us in Christ Jesus our Lord. The outward man, the visible mortal man, feels the exhaustion of the endurance of life. But the inner man must not decay. His faculties are to be vigorous, the inner eye clear, the hearing acute, the sensibility delicate, the step firm, walking in Christ, and the voice of them who overcome. If this power and freshness are to be preserved, the inner man must be renewed day by day. When we ask the present to give us what only eternity can give, we end up frustrated, discouraged, and hopeless. We must not keep our eyes on circumstances, but place them on the goal. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. After this, there is glory. So hang on in there. Our present bodies are temporal, and they will die. But God will provide us with resurrected bodies prepared for eternity. Our human nature is always longing for something. It can never be satisfied. It wants right now. It itches for right now. It's greedy for right now. But in eternity, finally, we will be fully satisfied. The world cannot bless you. Our human nature is dying. Our world is full of uncertainty and unfulfilled promises. But eternity is guaranteed by God for those who are his. Our physical nature keeps us separated from Jesus. But in eternity, we get in to be in his presence forever. Now, we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. It's pure, it's undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And though through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all of us to see. The goal is unseen. What is seen is temporal and can be discouraging. But what is unseen is eternal. Stay focused on eternity. We cannot stop. You cannot. I cannot. We cannot stop the aging process that takes its toll.